Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
She's back. Welcome to the show with
co-host Catherine Brandt,
Andy Brandt Bernard,
Timmy Lammers.
See, there you go.
Alex will be here soon.
Alex will be here soon.
I have to confess, you know, it's Tuesday because we had Memorial Weekend off, and I saw Tim on the screen, and I'm like, what's Tim doing here?
I know.
It's not Tuesday.
It feels like Sunday.
What are you going to do? So Tim is wearing a Minnesota Vikings shirt, and he's decided that since the Twins have already won two World Series, the Wild and whatever that basketball team's name is, the Timberwolves, are never going to win anything, apparently, that you're going to support the Vikings, even though they've never won a Super Bowl. They've been in four.
No. And I mean, look, it's kind of rooted in emotion here. I mean, one thing that I always did with my dad growing up was watch the Vikings on Sunday. So, you know, we'd throw the football around, and, you know, he was a full-time farmer and a full-time cop, so didn't have a lot of time, but he always found time to throw the football around on Sunday and watch the game with us. So,
right.
You know, so it's kind of an emotional thing, but, yeah, you know, it's you're right, the Timberwolves. I don't think I've ever cared about the Timberwolves.
Me either. Never cared about them.
Because we did have the Lakers at one point. And they were dominant, and they did win. And then there's another family thing. My mom went to a few Lakers games where George Mikan played.
So yeah, there you go.
I never really cared about basketball. Hockey, I would love to see the Wild win the Stanley Cup.
It would be very nice.
The state of hockey. Yeah. But what the hell's going on, man? You know, you get teams in the West Coast winning Stanley Cups, right? So it's just totally screwed up.
No question about it, but we'll slog through, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I don't know. I was a big Viking fan because my brother Terry came home from Vietnam and introduced me to the Vikings. I was about 15 years old at the time, so it's my brother's fault. They've never won a World Series, a Super Bowl.
But isn't that cool, though? It's all rooted in something. I mean, it's my father. Yep. For you, your brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that sort of nostalgia kind of keeps us going.
It does. Know? No, you're absolutely right. It does, indeed. And I will say one other thing.
You should mention Joe Capp died recently. I mean, and maybe that was the Super Bowl they were favored heavily, I think, with Kansas City.
So. Yeah. The very first one they were heavily favored and got their ass handed to them.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate. Oh, we got Kristen. We're going to have the entire show. This is wonderful.
Yeah, well, Kristen, your favorite sports franchises, we were just talking about my love for the Vikings still, and that's about it. So do you have any out in Los Angeles? Or?
No, I have an affinity for the Celtics.
Oh, I love the Celtics.
Because I grew up with season tickets to the Celtics, so I used to love watching them play. But otherwise, you'll find me watching figure skating and gymnastics.
Ah, well, and the thing is with the Celtics, I mean, you're already a winner because how many titles have they won? You know,
I can't even count. It's so
they're
incredible. And I was lucky enough to grow up in the era when like Bird was playing and McHale and Parrish.
Wow. Well, did you see the series winning time where you had Michael Chiklis playing Red Auerbach?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I love
it. It was a good series.
Really. And coming back for another one.
I remember.
I'm excited about that.
When I first met Tom, he was a huge Celtics fan.
Yep.
And I remember running around Manhattan trying to find him a Celtics, those shiny warm-up jacket things that they wear.
Yep.
Sold out. Why? So they must have been really winning everything back
in those
days.
Oh, they were just kicking ass. They kicked. Oh, it was unbelievable.
I remember I paid like $300 for that thing. Kelly West took me around to all these sports shops and found one.
Right.
And then you lost your love for them. What happened? Did a player disappoint you?
Yes.
Okay.
I met one of the players, one of the biggest pricks I've ever met in my life.
So I ruined the whole team for you?
Yes.
Oh, was that bad?
Does that player's name begin with Kevin and end with Mikhail?
Might.
Oh.
No, because he was at the Timberwolves.
Yeah, he was the coach of the Timberwolves for a while. Very unpleasant human being, I will tell you that.
He signed a basketball for me while I was living in Minnesota.
Really?
I will tell you something. I have two very good friends that played in the NBA, Jim Peterson being one of them. So I don't condemn all NBA players, just after those two, all the rest of them. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry to call out Kevin McHale on you, Tom, but I've heard you talk about this before. So it's public record.
Not my favorite person. Yeah. I've tried to be very nice to him, too. But whenever you criticize the team, he would get just livid. And I was in a golf course locker room, and he was in there, and he got really tough guy with me. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Settle down.
Did he tell? How tall is the guy?
6'11", I think, something like that. 6'10".
Yeah, it's going to be at least
not a Tommy.
Tall.
Yeah, he was doing that deal. So I just pointed out, you know, if I ever get inside your reach, you're screwed.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. That Minnesota grudge thing is strong.
It is for me. It's very strong
within you, Tom.
No, I don't know. He's just not my kind of guy. I loved him as a basketball player. I loved watching him play basketball. But he's just not my kind of guy. He just is not.
That 80s run was magical.
It was. It was wonderful to watch.
It was. And for us, like living in Boston, because, you know, at the time, like our big celebrities were like our local sports figures or news anchors. Having Jack Nicholson come and sit courtside during the playoffs every year were pretty amazing.
Sure.
Now, on the inside, Kristen. Okay, so Jack hadn't shown up for 2 years in public. All of a sudden, there was a photo of him out in his porch. He looked like he didn't admit his hair was
moving.
And then, all of a sudden, he shows up for a couple games. So what exactly is the deal there? Because obviously, the word had gotten out that it was dementia that had set in or something like that. So what have you heard? Have you heard anything?
I haven't heard anything. Like, I don't think that this is like a hint that his big acting return is coming by any means, but I have a feeling it's a way to just prove, like, I'm not dead yet. Yeah. I'm still alive.
Yep.
Don't believe all the rumors. Yeah. And I mean, he did look even a little disheveled when he showed up courtside. I mean, he didn't look like the Jack of like 80s and 90s even. I mean, he looked a little rough around the edges, but, I was nice to see him. I got to be honest.
Oh yeah,
it was cool. It's cool. I mean, but again, I mean, if you were suffering from some sort of ailment like that, I would imagine things have to be going pretty good if you're going to be in public like that.
I think he was saying, you know, he himself had done a couple of interviews just saying it was getting harder to memorize like chunks of dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I think he kind of took himself out before it really became an issue. And so perhaps the dementia situation was exaggerated then in the press, like, oh, you know, he's just not, he has dementia. He's like a crazy old man, like, you know, wandering around his yard, yelling at the sky, that kind of thing. And I think that that's kind of just to prove like he's maybe retired on his own terms.
Yeah. Well, and to his defense, you got to remember, he wasn't the only one locked up for a long time with COVID.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, it sounds like today, I mean, you know, if I were to start a 2-year run where I'm not seen in public, that's one thing. But, you know, to keep yourself safe or whatever and stay at home during COVID, is it that unusual, really? I don't know.
It wasn't. And I think, too, you know, there's a lot of older actors working these days that work with an earwig, which means someone is piping in their lines just in case anyone doesn't know what an earwig is. And it's pretty common, and especially with a lot of the male older actors for some reason. I don't know why versus female, if there's like a correlation between memory between women and men. And he chose not to do that. So I think that that's, you know, kind of interesting where other actors are like, I want to keep on working and I don't care if someone's piping in my lines. It's obviously a choice on either side, but I personally think he kind of just went out on his own terms and wrote his own final chapter.
Well, he needs to find somebody with Brando's cue cards and just do it the old fashioned way.
I just looked up his age. He's 86. So
he is 86. I didn't think he looked 86 when I saw him courtside. I mean, like a little disheveled, maybe didn't like look super coiffed, but I wouldn't have said, oh, he's 86.
And you know what? What the hell is 86 anyway? I mean, think about Schwarzenegger, and I don't know if you've watched FUBAR yet.
FUBAR.
He is terrific in that series because he knows, and I think he's been this way for a while. He gets the joke, you know. He's still a terrible actor, really, but he's good enough to make poke fun at himself in a sort of way.
And play into his 80s and 90s persona, too.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's kind of, poking fun at what he did then. And his acting really hasn't improved that much. And I have actually been previewing. It comes out on the 7th. It's a documentary called Arnold on Netflix. Clearly, he's got some sort of deal with them, but it's a docuseries. And I just started the first episode. And boy, this guy, talk about laser focus. I mean, this guy, he wills things into happening. He's really an amazing person. I mean, his career, I should say, has really just been an amazing deal from one, from Mr. What was it? Mr. Olympia or whatever the hell he was to Mr. World
Universe.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
Mr. Universe, whatever. It's crazy. So you got to hand it to him. The guy's been successful.
Yeah, he was our governor here. So it's incredible, too, because his kids have gone on to become authors and actors. And, obviously he has a son that he had with his housekeeper. But Joseph Baena, because he did Dancing with the Stars this past season, is a great kid. And, you don't just all of a sudden, show up on the scene and be a total brat. He was like, my dad told me I had to work for things, I had to go to college. Like, it was very clear that there was a work ethic instilled in him, whether it was his kids with Maria Shriver or his child with Mildred Baena, who was the family housekeeper. Never made him feel, I think, which is amazing, never made him feel like he wasn't Arnold's son, once all the dots were connected publicly.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're going to get that, not spoiling anything, obviously, because you can find all this stuff if you look it up. But, it goes into that work ethic that was instilled in him growing up in Austria and how poor they were and how hard his mother worked and how hard his father worked. So it's a good thing to see that that's carrying on down the line.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And, I actually think Joseph Baena didn't last that long on Dancing with the Stars, but I was like, I actually found him so charismatic, probably like Arnold was when he was in his 20s. I'm like, I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. He's one of those that has the potential. I get it. He's a Nepo baby, but he has the potential to really do something, whether in the public eye. I don't know whether it's going to be acting or something else, but he's got a funny personality. He's got a great sense of humor.
So, Catherine and Tom, are you going to watch FUBAR?
I don't know, Tom. Are we?
I'm telling you, you might be surprised by how entertaining it is. It is really a fun series.
Well, we'll
it's
give it a whirl.
Fun and fluffy.
Fun and fluffy?
Yeah. Like, just, yeah. When you just need that, light kind of fare?
Yeah.
Just like, don't want to think too much.
Right now, we're watching A Little Light. Have you heard of this?
Oh, God.
It's a story about, it's an Anne Frank story, but it's not particularly about Anne Frank. It's about the woman that took care of them.
A Small Light.
You know me and titles. And it's about this woman named Meep, who at great risk to herself and her husband, too, were helping. How many Jewish families were up in the attic?
Oh, yeah, tons.
Three or four,
yep.
Ended up there, and she had to get ration cards for them, and how it was just, it really is stressful watching it, just very stressful. So it would be nice to have something light and fluffy, afterwards
to
it's like when you're watching something scary, you need something comedic, Yeah, exactly. It's so well done. I mean, the acting is absolutely fabulous. Is that an American production or a British production?
I don't know. I have no, they all have British accents.
Why would they have British accents?
I know, but they do.
Where are you watching it?
It's on Hulu. It said it was on Sling, but
it's from National Geographic, apparently.
Oh, Nat Geo. Yeah, that's right.
But where was it filmed?
Was it in Amsterdam?
Let's see here. Yep, Prague and Amsterdam.
It's a beautiful production. I mean, it's just wonderful, and the acting is fantastic. I don't know.
Billy Bollet, right?
Billy Bolle. That's right. She's been in a bunch of shows.
She's really good.
Yeah, she's very, very good.
Yeah, they're
good.
Saying it's a U.S. production.
Okay.
What is?
But
okay.
On National Geographic.
Right.
Yep. That's what I was wondering.
According to this.
But it is. It's marvelous. It's really great. It should win awards, in my opinion.
Well, I should note that the second chapter, which hopefully they make into a series, a sequel to The Dropout, is that what it was? The
Dropout, yeah.
With Elizabeth Holmes?
Yes, she started her prison term today.
Oh, she did?
Oh.
How many years?
11 years. Now, first of all, 11, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, she'll be on
but
four.
It's a federal 10.
Federal, you usually serve most of it, don't you?
Not her.
Why not?
Because she's an attractive woman.
Oh.
Oh.
No, because she's been trying to get out of her prison sentence for quite a bit because of her pregnancy. And then I don't know if she had the child or if she's still pregnant, but
she must have had the child.
I think that they waited for her to have the
child.
They
waited. So, yeah, but she was trying to like at least get out of get a few years shaved off so that she could spend the first little bit with her daughter. And it didn't happen. The judge was like, no, you've got 11 years.
And her boyfriend at that time was Sonny, right? The guy that helped her run it, I think he got even more time than she did.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so, yeah.
Which is amazing because she was the figurehead. I don't know why.
Was he from India?
Yes.
I thought so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that, ladies and gentlemen. But
Dean Andrews played him, and he rose to prominence, at least first time I saw him, in the show Lost. And terrific in this series as well. I mean, what a hell of a series. And you know, when you hear about federal prison and country clubs, I mean, are they really? I mean, do they really? I have no idea.
It depends on where you go. Like when Martha Stewart went, she went to what is referred to as Camp Cupcake. It's one of like.
Well,
makes sense.
And it's known to be. If you have to get a federal prison sentence, you want to go to Camp Cupcake.
Okay, don't forget that, Tom. If we ever go to federal prison.
Camp Cupcake. See if you can get there. There's like farming. Women learn skills there. Martha Stewart herself was teaching a lot of the women how to cook and things like that. She utilized her obvious lifestyle skills while she was in prison. So I think there are better federal prisons than others.
Oh, there definitely are. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Remember Martha walked out with like a really like, I think it was like an Angora sweater that someone had knit for her behind bars. And everyone like rushed out to like make dupes of like the Angora sweater.
Yep.
Jeez.
Because it was super funny.
I mean,
FPC Brian.
Take existence with that. Jeez.
What, Andy?
It's unbelievable.
FPC Brian is where she's going. It's in Texas.
That doesn't sound like Camp Cupcake.
No,
I don't think Texas
does. Does it have tennis courts and golf courses? I mean, what kind of amenities does she have?
There's some pretty bad people in there.
Really?
I mean,
doesn't mean she'll be
meth distribution
pop.
Ring.
Ooh.
She's in there. Former Enron assistant treasurer for tax fraud.
Ooh.
Wow.
You know. That sort of thing.
Oh,
I mean, there's no like murderers or anything. It's minimum security.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still not.
Well, that's different.
It's not like, you know, it doesn't look terribly nice from the outside.
Okay.
Do you have anybody from the Aryan Brotherhood in there? That'd be nice.
Probably not.
We also finished Madoff.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was another one you needed a cleanse after after watching that.
It's true.
Now, is this one.
The
was
monster?
It De Niro or
Netflix documentary?
Yeah.
Oh, a documentary. Oh, okay. Yeah, because I thought De Niro played him, and didn't
did he?
Richard Dreyfuss?
There's been several series about him. So
yeah,
I
remember
Dreyfuss
playing him.
Yeah. Yeah, Dreyfuss would be good.
He would be.
The devastation left in the wake of Bernie Madoff is like it's just one of those situations. It's changed so many people's lives. Like the rest. Moving forward.
Well, and both his kids died young.
Well, one of them committed suicide shortly after Bernie was put in prison, and the other one died of a hideous type of
cancer.
Yep. Yeah, so and I'm pretty sure that their father's actions didn't help them at all.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of stress.
And then,
and I think for them being questioned, like the sons were always questioned, like how much did they know? Did they know anything? And they swore they knew nothing. Their father swore that they knew nothing because there were, I think it's pretty clear in the documentary too, like there were two offices and two floors.
Yes.
And they operated completely separately of each other. So even if the Suns knew absolutely nothing, it's just that guilt by association, right. I think.
Right.
Really tough.
Well, and the fact that I didn't know that the feds could seize your home. Now, I understand she was, what was his wife's name? Ruth. Ruth was living in a $7 million, which doesn't sound like much in Manhattan anymore, but this is years and years ago when they bought it. It's probably worth $25 million now. But they seized her home, and she was living in a car?
Yep.
In the streets of Manhattan? I mean, everybody abandoned her.
Does it say where she ended up now?
I don't know if she's even still alive. I don't know. I wish they would have followed up with some of those questions, you know.
Ruth Madoff.
What kind of car was she living in, though?
It wasn't a nice car. No, it wasn't.
Ruth is apparently still alive. She is 82, though.
Is she still living in New York?
I can't imagine that she would be. I would get out of there.
Yeah, I'd be up in Maine somewhere.
She's apparently doing as much as she can to not be recognized anymore.
Oh, sure. That makes sense. That makes sense.
In September 2020, she resided in Old Greenwich, Connecticut.
Greenwich. In a
$4.5 million beachfront property.
Oh, Jesus, how?
Oh, wow, that might have been a friend that was putting her up.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if they say, you know, if they had squirreled away any money knowing that someday a Ponzi scheme has to end.
Well, yeah, you don't start a Ponzi scheme expecting it to go on forever.
Although the show made it sound like if it hadn't been for the housing crisis and the entire world crashing, he could have still been going on today. Because nobody cared. The SEC investigated him. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
Well, watch The Big Short. I mean,
that's a great show.
Yeah, it just shows you just how much of a wild, wild west situation it really was. I mean, anything goes, you know?
Yeah, oversight is slim.
Very slim.
I'll tell you,
when it comes to all of that.
The toughest part of watching that show was at the very end when these couples who were now penniless and deeply in debt just started bawling their eyes out and crying. Oh, God, that was hard to watch.
Yes.
That was very difficult because it should have never happened. But the guy screwed everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, his own children died because of him.
I know.
Asshole. How did his children die because of him?
One of them killed themselves, and the other one got so stressed out he got cancer and died.
Ugh. Well, I don't think you can really contribute.
I think you can.
The Ponzi
stress
scheme
contributes
to cancer.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It depends on the type.
Well, it certainly wouldn't help it if you know, you have cancer and you're stressing. It's not going to help it.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases,
right,
and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us. You know,
and that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
is going to move things.
Alex is joining us. I don't know if she's going to be on.
Andy's getting it. He's working on it.
I don't have anything on my phone.
I sent you a text message.
Well, it didn't arrive.
I have to put in some sort of password on the computer.
Yeah, I never got it.
Password is Madoff. M-A-D-O-F-F.
No, never. Never.
It says family hotline. And well, I have to punch in numbers. So text me whatever those numbers are.
Yeah. So anyway, no. That was a very people should watch that. Because if you think that your taxes are going to protect you from the financial institutions, the corporate people, the politicians, you're delusional. 100% delusional.
Well, hopefully everyone learns on your lessons over the last decade or
that
two.
That would be good. If everybody learned a lesson, that would be very, very nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. That was... Yep. Yeah, that's a lot.
They're not even going to help you in a hurricane, so you better have food and water and be ready.
Yep. There's nobody coming.
Well, what I loved about the very ending...
Doomsday prepper is what I'm hearing.
They ran down a list at the very end of the show, kind of just before the credits, of all the national and state agencies that knew this was going on and did nothing about it. They did. They knew what was happening.
Well, that one guy, that one journalist, mathematician guy, he was reporting him.
Yeah.
Bernie's thing to the SEC constantly. And they kept on going.
They didn't care. They didn't care at all.
I don't know if I want to watch this.
I was going to say
this. It's actually very. You should. You should.
It's so fascinating.
People should watch
compelling.
This.
Compelling.
Yes.
Compelling.
Well, it's on the should watch list, and both of these shows, and I'll be careful not to spoil anything because
here we go.
They both came to an end on Sunday. Succession and Barry.
Yeah. Yep.
Both terrific shows, both terrific finales. I would say, Tom and Catherine, if you haven't started watching them, I would say the first one, watch Barry, because that goes fast. I mean, the episodes are a half hour each. And yeah, they just fly right by. And I'm telling you,
he's going to hate Succession.
Brian Cox.
Though. I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's they're all hateable. People.
Oh,
I think there are some that could be likable in the cast, but even the doofus, there's a doofus in the a cousin of the family who just becomes annoying after a while. But Barry is a different deal, and it shows you just how incredibly talented Bill Hader is, not only as an actor, but as a writer, as a director. This guy has it all going with this series. So that's on Max. No longer HBO Max.
That's right. That's right.
And so the fourth season just came to an end on Sunday night. I wanted to say yesterday, but it's actually, because we're all thinking yesterday was Sunday. No, it was two nights ago. But it's well worth watching. It's different. It's funny. It's
Henry Winkler is.
Henry Winkler's in it too. Yeah.
He's a good guy.
The kindest man in Hollywood.
Good guy.
And he is a great guy. You're right.
Yeah, I'll wait till you see him in this series, though. Again, just showing you. I think he's won a couple Emmys, or at least one, for this role.
He's won one Emmy, which was his first Emmy this past year. Huh. And he was like, I waited this long to finally get my Emmy.
What a travesty. He should have won a long, long time ago. I mean,
he's been nominated and just never won, so this was like a big thing for him. So,
maybe everybody can't get over the Fonzie thing.
It took a long time because remember that era where there were only three networks. You were that character, and when that long-running show ended, it was so hard to shake the Fonz or it's one of those things that people struggle for so
people
long.
People wouldn't accept them in another role. It's like
the Brady kids, like they all talk about that. You're Marsha, you're Jan.
There is a great show, and this is about buddies helping out each other, but it's the movie actually, early 80s, called Night Shift. Ron Howard directed.
Catherine and I watched that Hitler,
and that marked the amazing introduction of an actor, a comedian named Michael Keaton. It's like, where the hell did this guy come from? It was such an amazing debut. But it's such a great movie, too. But, thankfully, these are buddies that I don't know if it was happenstance or they really did plan it out. It's like, hey, nothing's going on for me. Hey, what about you? So let's get together. And it is really a terrific. And Shelley Long is in it as well.
Wow. I love her, too.
Yeah, great film. Great movie.
Cheers, baby.
She's
and also, I just saw a clip the other day. There was essentially Fonzie, Henry Winkler, is playing a pimp.
What?
they're running a prostitution ring out of a morgue.
God.
Because he's
that
a morgue guy.
Seems far-fetched.
And there's a scene where Michael Keaton gets some frat boys in the morgue to have a party. And it's like there's a guy in there that's carrying, I think they're carrying Michael Keaton around. And he's identified in the credits as frat boy number one.
Frat boy.
His name number is like Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. As frat boy number one. And that. So they had another big star in there. They just didn't know it.
Frat boy.
So fun. One. No. And Michael Keaton, I will say, it's going to rankle a few people's perception, but best Batman. Going to say it.
He was the best Batman.
I know people like Christian Bale, but I'm like, I still think Keaton's the best Batman.
Christian Bale was boring.
And people are really going to get they love him so much. I mean, when he reappears in the Flash, well, we've seen enough of him already in the trailers and stuff, but coming back in the Flash is going to be huge. Going to be huge.
They're actually going to get me to watch that, believe it or not.
Well, there
not
you
a superhero person, are you?
No, can't stand it. I think it's overdone. Yeah, I do. And, you know, it's interesting. Did you see Elizabeth Olsen recently just said, I've got recommendations for young actors. Don't sign a long-term deal with Marvel. You know, sign a one-off deal. And, you know, if you want to do more, do more. But because they lock these actors into these long-term contracts and then they can't do other work. And what I think is interesting, because we talked about this, Tom, on the morning show at Cannes Film Festival, you know, at the film market where they're trying to sell films, they're saying we don't have enough movie stars anymore. And millennials and Gen Z, they really haven't been developed because so many of them have been locked into Marvel careers that we don't know if they can do anything else besides put on a superhero suit. So Marvel has kind of ruined the whole sort of movie star making system.
No,
but
I agree.
Look at their bank accounts. Look at their bank accounts, though. Mm. I mean, they can complain, but
you know, she goes, job security. However, she's like, it oftentimes went against who I really was as an actor.
And she is really terrific. I mean, and what was the one that she just did?
Love and Death. If you have not watched that on Hulu, that's an Emmy winner. That's an Emmy winner for her if she gets nominated.
I actually interviewed her and Tom Hiddleston for the Hank Williams movie, where she played Hank's, well, I guess, first wife.
Mm-hmm.
That was both their voices. Hiddleston especially was impressive as Hank Williams. they do have a lot of talent, and, you know, fortunately they squeezed an independent film in there that probably didn't take a lot of time. I can imagine, but again, you know, I think she's done fairly well. Also, you got to believe that being in those Marvel films has helped her career too.
It's definitely given her, and to break away sort of from like, oh, this is the Olsen twins' sister.
Yeah,
it's helped her sort of break away from that, which I think is good. I do think she has Oscar ambitions, and I think that that's probably where a lot of this is coming from. She had to turn down The Lobster, so she was saying like that was a movie that I really wanted to do, and Marvel wouldn't let me.
Oh wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it. You know, and the whole thing with the Olsen twins, can you imagine how jealous they are of Elizabeth? Because, I mean, they earned gobs of money doing that whole Olsen twin thing and the straight-to-video stuff, you know, apart from the Full House fame and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I think that you probably will agree, Kristen, these people, they really do love that attention. And, you know, you don't really see the Olsen twins that much anymore. And really the one that's getting all of the spotlight right now is Elizabeth. So I wonder if there's any sort of jealousy there.
I don't think there is, just because they're so huge in the fashion world. The Olsens have like Thoreau. What's the other one? Is it Elizabeth and James?
Yeah,
is that
Elizabeth
right?
And James. Yeah. Yep.
And they're doing so well in terms of high fashion. They were offered to do Fuller House. They turned it down. In fact, John Stamos right now is talking about how angry he was at the Olsen twins for turning down the revival, because he really thought that they should be a part of it. And he's like, you know, I got over it. But they've really just decided that acting is just not going to be a part of their future career.
I remember having a talk about this. Wasn't it because they were just sick to death of being hounded by the press, the paparazzi, and all of that?
Yeah, they were sort of transitioning from like high school to college, right around that like sort of Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, that early paparazzi frenzy that happened quite a bit. Even Britney Spears was a part of that scene.
Yeah,
and they went to NYU for their freshman year. They didn't wind up finishing, but they realized, like, you know what? It's a little bit easier to live in New York City. It's a little bit easier to be outside of like the paparazzi bubble of Los Angeles. And that's when they really dove in head first with their couture career in fashion.
Makes sense.
I understand.
And
completely.
They had been acting since the time they were teensy.
Yeah, babies. Pretty much. Yeah. And then, yeah, all of those VHS things. There were so many of them.
You were pumping into them.
Yeah. They were pumping those out left and right, though.
What VHS thing were you talking about?
The Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen videos.
Yeah, straight-to-video productions. And it was huge. It's really what made them their money.
How many of them were there? Oh, man.
Yeah, you got to.
Their home is actually just around the corner. Their childhood home is right around the corner from where I live. And there's a guard gate that still exists from their time living there because they were getting so many creepy men trying to break into their house. And so they had to have like 24-hour security in an area where you don't really see like the 24-hour security homes over here. They're behind gates and things like that. But there is a guardhouse that still exists, and everyone always knows that it was the Olsen's house. So. Yeah,
I personally would not love that kind of lifestyle.
God no,
no,
you
know,
it would not be. I would not do well with that.
I think they've talked about it not being healthy for them either. You know, I think it was Mary-Kate had problems with an eating disorder at one point,
and she had a coke problem.
A lot of struggles. It wasn't easy.
No. It can't be. Didn't Tina Turner just die on a mountaintop in Switzerland?
Yep.
Why was she on a mountaintop?
It's a weird
place to die. She lived in Switzerland for years.
No.
I did not know that she got out of the U.S. and wanted to live a secluded life. I had no idea.
Well, there you go.
And for all we know, it could have been one of those situations where people were hounding her.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it's like, screw this. I'm going to the mountaintop.
She was such an amazing
Ain't no mountain high enough, but that's not Tina Turner.
No.
But yeah. I And but what a life, though. I mean, 83?
83.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yep, 83 years old.
Kidney disease, though, really took a toll on her health.
That'll do it.
No doubt about it. But I tell you what, one good thing is, in her favor, is at least she was on the other side of the planet from Ike, even though he was dead.
Oh,
what a prick.
Oh really? God.
Oh, he beat her up all the time.
All the time.
I don't know like anything about him.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, who
not
the hell's
a good
Ike?
Man.
Ike Turner, her ex-husband.
Ike Turner.
It was, they were a...
Oh, you gotta watch What's Love Got to Do with It, Andy. What a good movie.
And that gives you and probably, let's be honest, only a snapshot into their lives.
Right.
But Angela Bassett was the first person out of the gate that I saw that had a statement prepared about the impact of Tina Turner's life. And it wasn't some BS, you know, it was really some heartfelt stuff from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was robbed of the Oscar. I will stand on that hill.
She should have, you know, who the hell won this last one where she should have? But,
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Well, Angela Bassett, I thought, was a shoo-in for Wakanda Forever. And maybe because you think, well, she should have won for What's Love Got to Do with It. And talk about, okay, so I'm looking at six windows right now. Okay, we're all waiting to see who the winner is. And generally you get some people, even though they lost, they're like, ha, ha, ha. You could just tell she was devastated.
Yeah.
And when she lost, yeah. So I thought she was going to win. I really did.
That was a winner's dress she wore this year, that beautiful purple outfit. Those are the ones you win in. Not this year.
Those are the ones you win in. There you
it
go.
Is. You choose your Oscar dress. You know, like, this is the one that's going to forever be in photos and people are going to look at.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, she's wearing her winning Oscar dress. Nope.
No. And, you know, I wonder how many times Glenn Close has won her winning Oscar dress because I've been reminded with the Fatal Attraction series, which is it's good. I mean, I don't think anything could match that original film.
Right.
But honest to God, she should have won for that. And that
she
might have been,
really
I think she
well.
Was nominated for GARP, but it might have been her second nomination. But she's been nominated 8 times now.
And every time she loses, it becomes that Susan Lucci situation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Susan, what was that, about 25 times?
I think that was maybe about 16 or 17.
Yeah,
crazy amount of times.
Randy Newman
won on Sweet 16 or something like that.
You think Randy Newman was nominated 15 times before he finally won for music, a song?
Yep. My kids love Randy Newman.
I love Randy Newman.
My kids are big Randy Newman fans.
Randy.
So many strange
Diane
songs.
Warren, another one who never went.
Yeah,
either.
Well, they finally gave her one, though.
They gave her the honorary one, but I'm like,
what's that worth?
Just give Glenn Close one.
Thanks.
Year. Or let's face it. I mean, people like George Lucas, Harrison Ford. I mean, these people really transform the industry, at least in, you know, sure, for people's coffers anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it really is. It's a travesty when people like that aren't honored in the way they should be.
Yeah.
So who knows? But yeah, I would say give one to Glenn Close. My God, 8 nominations might be the most for an actor. I'm not sure, but I know Peter O'Toole was 7 when they finally gave him an honorary one, and he almost refused it because he said, "I want to win one outright." Well, Peter, your days are, you know,
that ain't happening.
We're talking about Oscar nominations.
That's what they do. They just pass you off to the governor's awards and, like, here's your honorary Oscar. Well, and they write you off.
Something. Paul Newman, same thing. I mean, he wasn't even there in person. They had to have tipped him off when he finally won because he was on via satellite at the time.
Giddy.
God.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us, you know?
And that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations, or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Kitty.
My dogs are sleeping. No dogs today. They're sleeping.
Oh, I was going to bring my dogs. Shoot.
Oh, there was a big turkey chase last night.
There was a big turkey chase.
Yeah. Oh, we were all outside yesterday. It was such a beautiful day. And Bop Bop bought a inflatable bouncy house.
For the kids. Oh, yeah. So they love it.
Ethan's going to lose his mind, Tom, in that thing.
Was that?
You can't be over 100 pounds.
Oh. Or 100 pounds or 5 feet. Yep.
So I can't even get in it.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Which I think I probably could. I just wouldn't be able to go wild.
They definitely had a great time. And the dogs were out. And all of a sudden, the dogs take off. I turn around and there's turkeys scattering and dogs running. And I'm like, chaos.
You know, and they were running toward the street, and we're like, no,
yeah, the
dogs,
turkeys are mental again. Today, on my way into the podcast, there were two males in the middle of the road with their big tails all puffed up.
You're like, huge. Not the time or the place, fellas.
Yes. People are dodging the turkeys.
No, turkeys do not care.
No, they're dumb.
They do not care. Geese,
very dumb.
Geese usually are
geese
like,
get out
oh,
of the
I'll
way.
Try it.
They'll turkeys. Hiss and honk.
Yeah, but it's
turkeys
like,
are just like, F you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Andy, I got to tell you something. That beef you bought, the quarter of the cow, and we bought another quarter of the cow, that hamburger is phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Oh, God, is that good.
Fawn didn't
it's
like it, though, because it was too
it
thick
really
a burger.
She didn't even try
thick.
It.
It was too thick a burger.
Because she
has
because
three
she
bites.
Ate two things of strawberry shortcake
she said she
at
had
the neighbor's.
Three
that's
bites
why.
Of the burger.
She didn't.
And she didn't like it.
She didn't have any bites.
Okay, great.
She ate the bun.
She's
top.
Decided she doesn't like thick burgers. She likes thin burgers.
Thin burgers.
Noted.
There you go.
I will make her a thin burger.
We'll head over
she
to
will
Burger
eat,
King.
She can put wow. away two adult burgers.
Yeah, she can.
From like
but they have to be
Shake
thin.
Shack, but they have to be the thin ones.
This
they
is
can't
hilarious.
Be the
she's about, what is she, about 1 foot two? How tall is she?
She's 1 foot two.
1 foot two. Eats
is.
Like a horse and doesn't grow at all.
Hey,
she's
she grows.
Grown.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Wow. Petite. She's small but mighty.
She's definitely
she is small but mighty.
Mighty. That's for sure.
She's
definitely
mighty.
41 pounds now. Thank you very much.
Wow. Andy, I cannot wait till
she
you get
Ethan. She will get out of a car seat by the time she's 12.
I cannot wait till you get Ethan. 12?
No, 12 is now. 12 is now the like average age of when kids get out of car seats.
So stupid.
But that's
no,
a
it's
booster,
not
a.
That's
car
a booster.
Seat, yeah.
Yeah, not a car seat. Car
oh.
seat.
Well, yeah.
Like entirely, like you're just able to sit in the chair by or without anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't
it's
want to
12.
Clip a 12-year-old into a reclining car seat.
No,
then.
No,
that's too much.
No.
Well, they wouldn't even be able to fit. They'd have to be like sideways.
Yeah, Fawn will probably be driving
in
yeah.
a car seat.
In a booster seat.
What's that? Like Colette? It was like she had to sit on a phone book. I have a friend that had to sit on a phone book to drive to be able to
yeah.
get high enough over the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still. Teeny tiny.
Well, down in Florida,
30.
You see some elderly people that have shrunk
oh, yeah.
so much that they can't even see oh, over
God.
The wheel.
Yeah.
And they're on the freeway.
Oh,
like,
no. Should they be driving?
No, absolutely
they should
not.
Not.
Very scary.
Well, one time there was a, what is it? Silver alert? Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, there's a lot of
when there's
alerts.
Old people that escape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there was this
wandering.
Woman that was on the median doing this. She wasn't going anywhere. Stuck on the median, mm-hmm. thought she was driving, and she had
oh.
escaped. I was like,
yeah.
and the cops were behind her, and they were like, ma'am.
Yeah.
There
you
should
need to
be
go
like
back
some
home.
Sort of ankle bracelet
her?
Situation.
Did they arrest her, put her in cuffs?
No. Yeah, they took her downtown.
In Florida, they're a little nicer to senior citizens. Than
well,
that.
So there's so many of them. They control.
The cops all have about 100 encounters worth of experience with them, so
yeah.
they know what to do.
They make up half the state.
Amo wants to know if anyone's seen Firefly Lane.
I have.
You have?
I saw the first season.
And?
Is that with, who is in that?
What's her face from Knocked Up? Heigl, Katherine Heigl.
Katherine
Heigl
on Netflix.
And the one from, who's the other one?
Sarah Chalk? Chalky?
Yeah, she's from Scrubs.
Oh, yeah, Connors.
She's from Scrubs.
Roseanne.
Yeah.
She was the second Sarah on Roseanne.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Her.
Second, not the second Sarah, second, what was it? Darlene, what was the other, the older
I didn't
sister?
Watch the other one.
I
never saw Roseanne.
I don't know. Yeah. I know her from Scrubs. She was like the love interest of Zach Braff in Scrubs. But yes, mm-hmm. I've seen the first season, and it was, I liked it, but then for some reason I have had no interest in watching the second season.
I thought it was a little slow.
It was slow, yeah. and it
What's
was
it called?
Firefly Lane. It's about these two
know.
Girls that are very, very different.
Seems to be popular.
And they meet when they're kids, and they form a bond, and one of them has a lunatic, drunk mother, and she gets taken away a lot and comes back, and then they remain friends until they're adults, and then something happens, and I don't know. It was... It was entertaining enough. It was entertaining enough. Like, well, after the kids went to sleep, if I needed to paint my toenails or just have something to have on in the background of something, it was fun. But I, for some reason, have had, I'm like, oh, the new season's out, but I have not watched
Didn't
it.
Hold your attention.
Yeah.
It's kind of how we were with the Lethal Weapon reboot. We've been watching that after Ethan goes to bed. I mean, it's taken us like a month to just finish watching season one.
Oh.
But Lethal Weapon, the reboot, if anyone plans on seeing it and somehow doesn't know what happens, then maybe tune out for 2 minutes. But so Lethal Weapon, you got the movie series with the guy, Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Danny Glover, right. So they rebooted it into a TV show in, I think, like 2016. Let's see here. Yeah, 2016. It had three seasons. Oh, we watched the first two, I think. And after the first two seasons, Riggs is gone. Because the actor apparently, he hated everyone or everyone hated him or something like
Well, there were some recordings. I actually on camera, audio was leaked of him and, is it which Wayans brother?
Damon.
John? Damon? You know, they were butting heads all the time.
Yeah, they didn't
and
like each other.
They fired him and they got Minnesota's own Sean William Scott.
Yeah, but then the series very quickly died after that because it's not Lethal Weapon without... You know, both characters, Murtaugh and Riggs.
Right, right.
Oh. So yeah,
they played off Sean William Scott as like a brother or something. What was it? It was something like that.
I don't know. We've only watched a couple episodes. And it's not bad. It's just weird. It's like, imagine, you know, you're watching Frasier, and then halfway into season three, Frasier just goes away and gets replaced with some other guy.
Yeah, that would be.
You're going to be like, what the hell's going on? Just like, you know, if you can't get them both, just stop the show.
Yeah. Wasn't it a Fox show? Because again, yes. I say that one of the things that has killed broadcast television, at least the scripted series, is the fact that they're so hampered by, you know, there's parameters, right? There's the FCC.
Yep.
They just, the content has just got to be clean, essentially.
Well, yeah, I think
shows have gotten a lot looser.
A little bit racier.
It depends on the network, of course.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I mean, and I really do think that with used to be just the cable that was kicking their ass. Now it's the cable and the streaming, and sometimes they're one and the same. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the original...
I mean, I can't tell you the last time I watched a broadcast network show.
The Lethal Weapon series, their famous things were all like stuff you can't say on television.
I'm too old for this
shit. That's not his catchphrase anymore. He doesn't have a catchphrase. He did say, I'm too old for this one time, though.
Ooh.
He didn't say shit, of course.
Ooh.
And then, of course,
a fan of the films, they would say,
it's so sanitized.
Say shit.
Yeah, I know. It's like the...
On network TV, they say stuff like that, don't they?
I don't think you can say shit. So.
You can't?
Well, Leo Getz's famous diatribe.
You can't say asshole, I think.
No, you can say ass and you can say hole, but you can't say asshole.
Asshole, yeah. Together, it's a problem.
Well, it's like,
together, it's a problem.
If you say asshole, they beep out the word hole, which I always found
asshole?
Strange.
What?
Yeah.
So ass stays and hole goes.
Yeah.
They actually bleep their own series.
Oh, like, how about if they went...
We're going to say we're brave doing this, but we're going to bleep out the hole.
They could do... You're a real ass. Hole.
Hold up.
That would be pretty funny to see that. I would watch a show like that. That'd be funny.
I always like those TV edits of movies where they're swearing a whole bunch.
Yeah.
So they have to. I think they actually have the actors come in and re-record the dialogue.
And say, like,
to
crap
be,
instead
like,
of shit.
No, it's like nonsense stuff. Like, what's the. See What Happens, Larry, that movie. Let's see. That is from The Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah.
So where he's, like, smashing up the guy's car, and he's yelling, you see what happens, Larry? You see what happens? What the real line is, you see what happens when you F a stranger in the ass.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, it'd be a little rough for...
on the TV edit, he changes it to...
broadcast. No.
On the TV edit, he changes it to... You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps? And you can... I can find it, I think.
When you find a stranger in the Alps.
You know, and I love Smoking the Bandit in the theaters. And, of course, the late, great Jackie Gleason was some bitch. On the television version, he said scumbum.
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 The dreaded scumbum.
It just sounds dumb.
I remember watching some movie on TV when I was younger. It was one of those movies that I saw 8,000 times, like Clueless or Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, Grease or something, and it was on the TV instead of on the
VHS.
Oh.
And yeah, a bunch of the lines made no sense. It was like, what does that mean? But it was like, it has to be similar to what it says. So their lips look like they're kind of saying that.
Well, apparently the Coen brothers said that they did it basically to make fun of the concept of TV edits. So they just turn the movie into, because The Big Lebowski is full of swearing.
Yes.
So the idea of just making a TV edit in the first place is just kind of dumb.
Yeah.
So it's like, instead they turned it into basically a comedy where everyone's just like talking nonsense.
That's
and
funny.
Of course, Jeff Bridges. I hate the effing Eagles, man.
I hate the
That's
an easy
one to edit, though.
I have to jump out, you guys. I've got to...
You big baby.
How could you?
We only
know,
have 10
I'm
minutes
sorry.
Left and you got to bail. Typical.
I do. I have to go to work.
Well, F you. And by that mean, have fun, you.
We'll find you in the Alps.
We'll find you in the Alps, damn it.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
We found Kristen in the Alps. That's what we did.
Kristen,
bye. I love working with her. She's phenomenal.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, broadcast television. They know they're on their last legs. Come on, just pull out all the stops.
Yep.
Jesus, let's go for it. What's the point anymore?
So why is Sling all of a sudden a thing?
Because
there was a thing, then it was bought by somebody, and now all of a sudden everything's on Sling, and you have to subscribe to Sling Plus to get this.
It's like $40 a month, too. It's not $8 a month. It's $40 a month.
It's going up against like Hulu and all those. It's like, do we need another contender in this streaming world?
I don't. I do not.
Well, and we talked about this last week. I mean, thankfully, you have streamers combining. So you have Showtime finally coming in with Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And the whole Max thing, part of that, the reason for that rebranding was that they were bringing in Discovery Plus content into Max. So I don't know. Again, I still think dropping the HBO off, that was one of the stupidest things, especially since when you think of Max, you think of Cinemax, you think of Skinemax. It's like, oh, this is going to be sleazy. What are you doing? But now with Discovery Plus, and I mentioned this series, I believe, last week, House of Hammer. You can see it on Max. And you want to see a scummy family, the Armand Hammer deal. Holy God.
Oh, yeah. I heard it's terrible.
Get ready to be it's so repulsive. You would not believe it. So that's the sort of programming now that you can get if you have HBO Max or Max. They pulled in all of that Discovery Plus content. So that's a smart thing to do because, again, a lot of these streamers are struggling now. So that's a good thing, I think. Not good thing for them, but good thing for us is that, you know, it's not costing as much because we're subscribing to 12 things. Now it can be 10 things, you know, by these things combining. Yeah.
I like Dan's idea where you just pay a dollar for a show or 50 cents for a show. Just everything's all a carte.
Yeah, everything's all a carte.
These subscriptions. You watch something, you pay for it.
I know.
Small little amount of money.
Well,
because you probably end up paying about the same amount of money total.
You mean like 99 cents for the season or?
No, per show.
No, per show.
Well, they've been doing that on Amazon forever. No one did it.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. You can buy them per episode.
Mm-hmm. No one ever did it.
It's like $1.99.
I've long maintained, and this isn't a novel idea, my idea, but it's like that's what killed cable. And I'm talking about the carriers. I'm talking about the dish networks of the world where, you know, they'll give you the top 200. So you think, wow, I'm getting a lot. But, you know.
It's all crap.
75% of them are.
Yeah.
Or another language.
Yeah.
I know. It's
where
like
you, where you can't grab a la carte what you want. If you would give the people the idea, the menu to say, okay, this much will get you 5 channels. Take whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but they never, ever did that. And that was a huge mistake.
Well, it became an arms race of we have more channels.
Yeah.
So it's justified to pay us more. And then the other guys were like, oh, now we have more channels, so now you pay us more. And it got to the point where it was like 1,000-something channels, but it was getting to the point where it was like $200-$300 a month. It was just like, who needs that? And like you said, it's like 400 channels of Latino music, 100 channels of like church rebroadcasts.
Yeah, it is.
It's not – you're not paying for something you're actually ever going to use.
No.
You're going to use maybe – 20 of those channels tops.
I know. It just all seems so stupid.
So just give us a price. Say, okay, you get 20 channels.
Right. I'd rather pay for what I'm using than all
exactly.
this other
But the channels themselves make deals with the cable companies because they know otherwise no one's going to buy them.
Like, and then how many times did we have carriage problems where I remember they did it with The Walking Dead, where AMC got pissed off at Dish or something. So all of a sudden AMC wasn't available and the big season premiere was coming up. So it always break down some way, even though they had deals in place, things would always break down at some point. And you know, talking about all those streaming channels that we have, how much are you really using them? I mean, you might have one or two shows on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. So, you know, if you think about it, you're paying a lot of money and you're probably not getting your money's worth.
Well, and it's also annoying because so we wanted to watch this show, A Small Light.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so we searched on Roku and it said you have to have Sling to get it. We put Sling on and then we try to watch it and it's like, no, you have to have the premium Sling. So it almost seems like a little bit of a game. And then you look it up online. It's, you can get this show on Hulu and blah, 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 blah. It's like you didn't even have to do that. But the first thing they do is try to get you to add another channel to watch a show.
I have recommended this website that I totally stumbled on years ago called JustWatch.com. And I'm not getting paid by JustWatch.com. I'm just saying you go there, you search a show, it'll tell you, or a movie. An old movie, and it'll tell you all the places it's playing. Some of them, you know, you have to rent it. Some of them are part of Prime Video or Netflix or whatever. Okay. But that's a good way of finding a film or a TV show. Okay. JustWatch.com.
I should make a note of that because
bookmark it because
sometimes
honestly,
it takes us a half an hour to figure out where to watch it.
Yeah, stupid. It does. I mean, otherwise you're going to each of the streamers and searching on each of their search engines trying to find it. So, it's terrific. And not only that, it'll break it down by, it's available in 4K here and HD here and just regular here. It's a really terrific site.
Yeah, a lot of the time I have to Google, where to watch.
I know.
So my kids wanted to watch, we had from some friends over to celebrate Fawn's birthday. And they wanted to watch Luck. And I was like, I have no idea. It looked on Netflix. It wasn't there.
Which
it looked on Amazon.
Apple TV
it wasn't there. It was
Plus.
An Apple TV.
Yeah, an Apple TV Plus does a lot of
original movie of
things.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know. So I was like, we had to Google, where can we watch this movie? I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I feel like I want to get rid of Disney Plus, too. I don't think they don't watch it that much when they come over. And all of the movies that they want to watch are available on Netflix anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The movies that the Disney movies aren't available.
No,
on
they're only on
a
Disney Plus.
No.
Nope.
No Disney movies are available on Netflix.
According to my search for Moana, it was on Netflix.
Nope.
Well, I mean, just like anything else, I mean, they're going to make pretty decent money if they, I guess you could say, essentially rent them out to other streamers. So they might have been produced by Disney, but you can indeed see some things on other streamers at some point. So, they're struggling. I mean, they're losing a lot of subscribers. So, I'm sure they're trying to make money anywhere where they can. And if that means, you know, they have let Moana play on Netflix for an extended
Moana's
period of time.
Moana's not on Netflix.
According to JustWatch.com, Moana is only on Disney Plus and Apple TV.
Because you can watch.
You gotta rent it on Apple TV.
For $10, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can get most things on Apple TV. Because not even just Apple TV Plus, but just Apple TV because it's like you can rent or buy.
Yeah, they've got some sort
shows.
Of partnership or something.
And I used to watch like Downton Abbey. I never had whatever it is that you need.
Yes.
It was like Acorn and then it was on.
Oh, yeah.
I never had any of that. So I just bought the seasons on Apple TV.
Oh, okay.
And that's how
so
I watched
completely
it.
Completely ruin your day. Yes, indeed. Moana is being adapted into a live action.
I know. Film. It's like 5 years old, 6 years old.
I don't know. I'm excited. I love all the live. Yeah, I watched
Little
Little
Mermaid. It's been a few years. It's been a few decades. I can understand. but Moana already? Really?
I saw The Little Mermaid on Saturday, and it was fantastic.
Everyone says it
yes,
sucks.
Yes, it is. It's
what?
A good movie.
I loved it.
Well,
everyone.
It's like The Lion King. People didn't like that. And I understand.
I love The Lion King.
I don't know.
The only problem I had with it, Alex, was the new songs didn't fit for me.
I thought they were fine.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the original songs, I think most people don't like the original songs because they're not part of the movie. And so it's like, what's this song? You know, it just kind of takes away from the magic of childhood thing.
Yeah.
But I understand why Disney wants to make. I thought Prince Eric's song was wonderful, and I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, and that's the sort of thing. I took my oldest daughter, who loved Little Mermaid growing up, she went to the film with me, and it was one of those deals where it kind of takes you out of it because you're looking, it's like, what, do you remember that one from the cartoon, you know, the animated film? And no, so that was kind of weird, trying the rap song.
Yeah.
They have kind of a rap song in there.
There's a scuttle rap.
Lin-Manuel Scuttlebutt? Miranda. I thought that was cute because scuttle's weird.
But that I knew for sure wasn't in there.
Yes.
Because Scuttle, who is right along face Tom. Who's the actor? Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett.
And Awkwafina plays her now.
Yeah. And I like Awkwafina a lot. And I thought, for the most part, she was terrific. But the song is like...
I got sick of cartoon characters.
They're trying to bring in the Hamilton sort of deal into it. I really liked the movie. I really thought the Halle Bailey was terrific, and
she was great, and her voice is.
And I love Melissa McCarthy.
She was incredible. I didn't even know she was in it, and then she was awesome. She did a great job.
Oh, perfect.
Like Poor Unfortunate Souls. I was like, wow.
Ursula.
Yeah, she was great, and she sang Poor Unfortunate Souls, and she just amazing.
Oh.
I was very impressed.
That is going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. So, Timmy, what do you got the rest of the week?
Well, there's a new Spider-Man movie coming up, but it's it's Spider-Man Across the Universe. It's animation. So
the
I'll
Beatles
be seeing
version
that and talking
Spider-Man.
With you about that on Friday. And that's about it. I thought the new Arnold documentary would be coming out. I thought I'd talk about that, but I'll find another streaming program to talk about on the show Friday as well.
I like it. All right, Pally, thank you.
All right, have a great day, everybody. Tommy, talk Friday.
Bye.